In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today we commemorate one of the most important icons of the Russian Church, the Kazan icon. The Kazan icon is named after the city that it was discovered in. It was discovered not long after Kazan had been taken by the Russians from the Tatars, and so it was still mostly a non-Christian city at this time. And in 1579, there had been a devastating fire in the city, and the Muslims blamed it on the Christians. They said that God was not pleased that the Christians were there, so it was their fault. But at that time, the Mother of God appeared to a 9-year-old girl named Matrona and told her that this icon would be found in the ashes of one of the houses that had burned down. And though she tried to get people to believe her, they ignored her, but finally, the clergy were persuaded to at least give it a chance to see, and they let her go and dig, and not long after she began digging, they found this icon wrapped in a cloth. And when the Tsar heard about this, he established a convent there dedicated to the Mother of God in Kazan, and a copy of that icon was made and sent to Moscow. And to not get too deep in the woods on the history of this icon, because it does get somewhat complicated, at various times copies of this icon were made for various places, and these copies also began to work wonders. During the time of troubles in Russia, which began in 1605 when you had the last of the Rurik Tsars pass away, and he passed away without an heir, there was a secession crisis that led to civil war, and ultimately you had the Poles, who saw an opportunity to extend their control into Russia, and they, by various means, attempted to do that and set up a czar that would serve their needs. And ultimately, the king of the Poles had the desire to convert Russia by force to Roman Catholicism. And they had already done this to some extent in other parts of Eastern Europe where people were forced into Unia. They imprisoned the Patriarch of Moscow, the Hieromartyr Hermogenes. He had a connection with this icon. He actually had been the Metropolitan of Kazan. He wrote the first account of the miracles of the icon, and he also composed the original service for the icon. And so he wrote a letter to the Russian people, and he called upon them to organize and to resist the invaders. And so a volunteer army was formed, and it was organized by Prince Dmitry Pozharsky. And when it entered Yaroslavl, it was joined by residents from Kazan who brought with them a copy of the Kazan icon. And from that moment, the Theotokos herself began to be considered the spiritual head of the Russian army. Finally, the Russians surrounded Moscow, which the Poles had taken control of, and they cut off all of its supplies, but it was very fiercely defended. And also, the ranks of the Russian army, because they didn't have a clear leader, they were used to being led by a czar, and they didn't have one. There was a great deal of dissension, and so a fast was called, a 3-day fast, and prayers were said before the Kazan icon, asking for her intercessions for the Russian people. And then they were able to storm the Kremlin and to take back the city of Moscow from the Poles. And so this is actually the feast that's commemorated on this day, because it happened back in 1612, a little bit more than 400 years ago. Also, Peter the Great prayed before this icon, and along with the Russian army, before the Battle of Poltava. And if you know anything about Russian history, you know that Peter the Great was not known for being a very pious man, but he wasn't an atheist. And he knew about the history of this icon, and he was at a crisis point in his time as emperor. He knew that this battle would be decisive, and so he sought the intercessions of the Mother of God, and the battle was won. Also in 1812, when the French invaded Russia, along with many other nations, it was a massive army, probably the biggest army that had ever been assembled in the history of the world to invade Russia, and after fighting the Battle of Borodino, the Russian army withdrew and allowed them to occupy Moscow. But before General Michael Kutuzov actually began to fight the French and to resist the invasion, he prayed before the Kazan icon. And also the Kazan icon was brought before them in battle, and as the French finally retreated from Moscow, the very first battle that was won on this day, on this very feast. In World War II, there were various copies of the Kazan icon that played a very big role, and you have to keep in mind that before World War II began, Stalin had established a five-year plan to erase all religion in the Soviet Union. And so when you think about why does God allow things, well, perhaps God allowed the German invasion into Russia to stop Stalin from accomplishing what he had desired to do. And even Stalin himself, although he was an atheist, there's a story, and I think it's probably true, that he had the Kazan icon copy that was in Moscow flown around the city of Moscow when the Germans were outside the city, and the Germans were not able to take that city. Now you might say, well, how likely is that? He was a horrible mass murderer and an atheist. Well, years ago there was a study, I think it was maybe done in Sweden, I can't remember off the top of my head, but they took people who were atheists and they hooked them up to all the lie detector kind of equipment so they could monitor their stress levels. And they asked these atheists to call down God's curse upon themselves and upon their loved ones. And they noticed that these atheists, who ostensibly didn't believe in God, and it should not have mattered any more than if he'd asked Casper the Friendly Ghost to have done something bad to their family, their stress levels went up, because the fact of the matter is that atheists really are not atheists down underneath it all. They really don't believe what they try to convince everyone else, and that's one of the reasons why they tend to be so militant, because they're trying to convince you of that which they would prefer to believe themselves. And so I don't doubt that Stalin had his moments where he was wondering if that stuff that he had been taught as a child and even as a seminarian before he became a communist wasn't true. But also, in 1941, there was an Antiochian metropolitan by the name of Ilya, and the account that I read didn't mention where he was from. Maybe he was even in Russia as part of their representation church in Moscow, if they were still allowed to have such a thing, I'm not sure. But he felt a great love for the Russian church and was praying for the Russian church, and the Mother of God appeared to him and told him to tell the Russian bishops that they needed to carry the Kazan icon in a procession around the city of Leningrad, St. Petersburg before the communists took it over, and now St. Petersburg again, that they should do a prayer service in Moscow before the icon, and that the icon should be brought to stay with the troops in Stalingrad. And at Stalingrad, the icon was kept on the right bank of the river, and the Nazis were never able to cross over to that side. And it was brought to some of the most heated parts of the battle. Many services were performed before it. And I should, to explain, you might be wondering, how are the Soviets allowing all of this? Well, Stalin started to realize that maybe he needed to call upon the spiritual resources of the church and the faith of the people as an aid to resist this invasion. And so he began to allow churches to reopen. And so there were many believers among the Soviet army, obviously not everybody, and obviously their leaders were not believers, but there were many believers in the Soviet army, and so they given some freedom to do so, were exercising their faith. Also, at the Battle of Koenigsberg, which actually is present-day Kaliningrad, the Soviets were in a very critical situation, because Koenigsberg was a city that was very heavily fortified. It had underground tunnels that connected various parts, and so it was not an easy city for them to take. And at this moment, one of these commanders brought some priests along with an icon, and some of the Soviets began to crack jokes and to say, well, just wait, these priests will help us. But their commander silenced them and ordered everybody to stand in line and take off their caps. And they did a malevolent before the Kazan icon of the Mother of God. And then they carried the icon with the troops as they went into the front, into the battle, under very heavy fire. And the Nazis stop firing. And they were able, along with other forces, to take the city. Afterwards, when they spoke and interrogated many of the German soldiers they had captured, they were told their guns stopped firing. Some of them even said that they saw a vision of the Mother of God. This feast was actually established as a national holiday back in 1649 to commemorate the original deliverance of the Russian people from the invading Poles. When the communists took over, they ended it, and they replaced it with another commemoration, the commemoration of the October Revolution, which happens to fall on November the 7th, that being because the Russians were still on the old calendar when that happened. That was October the 25th under the Julian calendar, but November the 7th. And so that became the new Soviet national holiday, and it remained so until it was finally reversed in 2005. That holiday was abolished, and this feast, the Day of Russian National Unity, was reestablished as a national holiday. What we should take from this is that God doesn't abandon his people if we'll simply turn to him in prayer. We, as a church, are entering into a very difficult time, and so we should seek the prayers of the Theotokos and ask her to intercede for us on our behalf, that he would bring unity not just to the Russian people but to the church, not just the Russian church but the entire Orthodox Church. Unite us in oneness of faith. Teach us to love one another and to overcome all obstacles, and preserve our confession of the true Orthodox faith. Amen.